Welcome to A Better Way with Crossroads Bible Church. At CBC, we believe growth happens in small groups, and in season two of our podcast, we will be talking about small group leadership. The goal is to provide guidance and support to our leaders so they can welcome others, ask good questions, listen well, and point people to Jesus. And now your host, Britt Owsley.
Welcome back to our podcast. We are talking about small group leaders and how we want small group leaders to welcome others, ask good questions, listen well, and point people to Jesus. And so today we're talking about listening well. When we think about listening well, when we look at Christ, he's always listening to the people around him. We've already talked about the fact that he asked questions, but when he asked those questions, he really took the time to listen to people, to make them feel heard, to look them in the eye, to meet them where they were. And that's something that we as followers of Jesus want to do. And actually, as a small group leader, that's something we probably all think that we do well. I know I thought I did that well until I started actually applying my mind to learn how to be better in this area. We all have room to improve, but I realized I had a lot of room to improve here. There's a lot of ways in which we think we are listening well, but we are not. And so we actually have some different stories that we've thought about. A story for me is just, I remember a time in small group when I was asked how I was doing, and I started to open up a little bit about a problem that I was having, and someone basically just cut me off and said, "Oh, I have a problem like that too," and they just started sharing their issue, and I just felt so deflated. I just felt like, I thought you did want to listen to my story, and oh, you don't. They just started talking more about themselves, and then the conversation kind of just kept going. Other people chimed in, and the subject changed, and I just felt very defeated. Like, do you not actually care? And I hated that feeling, so I started, like, paying attention. I don't want to do the same thing. I don't want to interrupt people and make them feel bad. And so the next small group, I was listening. Someone was asked a question, and they were cut off, and I immediately saw there was this girl. Her face was just so deflated, just so defeated. It was like, she's feeling the same thing that I was. I never want anyone to feel like that again. So I actually steered the conversation back to her and asked her, and she lit up like, oh, I was actually heard. It just took a second for it to come back around. But man, I just never want anyone to have that deflated face ever again. But the more I pay attention, the more I realize I'm not listened to. I don't listen to other people well. I'm working on it, but or some other ways that y'all have seen in y'all's lives.
Well, Britt, that sounds like hijacking to me, and Dylan has a great example
yes,
of that.
Yes, I do. I was actually in a small group one time, and it was like a leader training, and I was there to actually discuss hijacking. I was there to, like, tell the group, like, this is what it is, this is how you watch for it, this is, you know, this is how, you know, you want to help a group navigate around it, which you did an excellent job just now of going back to the person and helping them feel affirmed and everything. But in this group meeting, before we got started, we were all just sitting around chit-chatting, waiting for everybody to arrive. And one of the girls shared a really a heartfelt moment that she was really struggling with a sickness that her kid had. Her kid had just recently been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and it was rocking and changing their world. Like, her world had just been turned upside down. She now had to realize, like, I've got to learn how to cook different, how to shop different, how to, you know, stick my kid and check blood pressure, blood sugar constantly. And, I started sharing something, and I, you know, it was probably because I was the leader in the room, in the space, but, like, immediately the whole room stopped and turned to me. And it just, the irony, I sat there in that moment and realized I am here to talk about what hijacking is, and I just hijacked this girl who is in immense pain. And so as we started the group, I just said, well, I've got this great example of hijacking because I just did it. Mm-hmm. I just totally took the focus away from the girl who was sharing. And so I was actually able to interact with her, and bless her soul, she was able to say honestly how she felt about being hijacked. She said it was terrible in front of the whole group in the moment. And so it was a great moment. And I realized at that moment, it doesn't matter how many times you really learn about hijacking and not listening well. I mean, we are all so prone to do it continually. We really do have to be thinking about it.
Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that when somebody hijacks, a lot of times they offer a solution to that, and we call that fixing. And they both come from a sense of insecurity the person has, or that they want to share something. A lot of times it's out of what they feel like. It's a good heart. I'm trying to help this person. But I remember sharing something about kids growing up and parenting issues, which everyone has parenting issues. And it seems like people are quick to say, oh, here's what works with my kid. Here's what you should do. Here's what. And then they're really off in their own story, talking about their own kids. And you feel like, well, this burden that I brought, that I'm carrying, I guess either that's not welcome here because nobody really listened to it, or I'll just keep that to myself. So it really cuts off the, and it's really much harder to listen to and to just sit with that person and see what they're really, what their heart's dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. What we're naming is, you know, fixing, advising, rescuing, hijacking. Those are all ways in which, you know, when someone's offering us something that they're distressed about or look, they're seeking something, that can be like our automatic response to how we address that. And the problem with that is that, especially in the groups that we're trying to create, it doesn't give space for the Lord to enter into what's going on, because we kind of take over. Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, doesn't give us the opportunity to really be with them and listen with them, you know, where they're at. I was thinking about our family situation. We're in a family health crisis right now, and, you know, a crisis, you know, naturally lends to the desire to rescue. And so, you know, people just, they love us and they're trying to help us. But what we really need is for people to be with us in the pain and the suffering that goes with not having the answers right now. And that is the most comforting thing that happens. But I will also say that when people are like that with me, it also opens up my soul to be curious about whether or not they are going to offer something, if there's some way in which God is going to come to us with help from them. And it may or may not happen, but the reason why that's so important is when you're in crisis, it's very hard to discern what the good way is. Like, how do I move forward from here? And if they're humble with me, I stay humble with them, there can actually be this moment where I receive something that I really do need to like make it through the crisis.
See, when I hear all of this, one thing I think about is that, you know, fixing is, you know, I hear a problem and I want to quickly offer a solution. Or hijacking is you're sharing something that's going on with you, and then I take the attention, I share what's going on with me. And it's like there's room for solutions. There's room for me getting to share. But those are usually not immediately after you've shared, right? So when we are listening to people, we want to give them room to share and to be heard and to feel heard before we then start in on our advice, the ways we can rescue them. Because when we say fixing or hijacking or rescuing, what we're really saying is doing those things before the proper time, before the Lord has had that room to speak, and before that person has actually felt heard by them, before they felt like they actually belong here and what they have to say actually matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goal in listening is connection, right? We want the person in the group to feel like, oh, you do understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Because it's often when someone feels that way, they also feel connected to the Lord, that the Lord is with them and that the Lord sees them and hears them. That's the beauty of community, when people are really deeply listened to.
I also think something that's interesting about all this is that we often talk about the thing that we're most present to, that's the most obvious thing that we're dealing with. And what we're needing help with is that, but we're also needing help with what's going on underneath the surface, that's going on deeper in our heart. And if we stay quick to solving things at the top, we totally miss the opportunity to be met in the deeper places of our lives.
Mm-hmm. That's just making me think of another story where I remember getting fixed in the sense of I was sharing about a argument that I had had with someone, a place where there was disagreement with a third party. And the person that was listening to me immediately started offering solutions on, like, how to just reconcile with this person and basically weighing in on the argument, when that's not really what I actually needed at the time. And I didn't realize that until they had jumped in. And I realized, like, wait, no, I don't want you to solve that argument right now. I want you to hear the fact that I felt disconnected and I need a feeling of connection right now. Like, that's usually why we're sharing with people. It's not usually to get the solution. It's to be connected, to find connection where there's something lacking. And when you fix my problem, rather than listen to me, I don't feel connected to you.
Right. And you know you've really gotten somewhere with a group when someone can have that moment like you had where I realize, oh my gosh, this is not helpful, and this is why it's not helpful. And it's actually okay for you to say out loud those things to that person, and that there can be this ongoing growth of listening well and seeking together that happens from being able to be totally honest with one another with what's going on.
That's what we've actually talked about in a previous podcast, about just when you get together, it's sometimes good in a group to have an idea of rules of engagement, almost, an idea that when we're in this group, there's going to be a certain way that we interact with each other, and we've all kind of agreed to it ahead of time, so nobody's really offended when I point out, hey, that's actually hijacking, let's not do that. That's also why it's useful to put labels on, like, what we're talking about might go by different names in different circles. We just talk about fixing or hijacking or rescuing. We like these words because it gives us a common vocabulary to talk about this. That, like, if I were to say, hey, actually, sorry, like Dylan was talking about, how I actually just hijacked right then. Like, being able to name it so that we can seek to not do it, and we can grow in our ability to listen and not go to those sort of shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it reminds me, if they just think the goal is love, right? What does it mean to love that person? And we're loving that person by listening to them and also giving them space to share what they're going through. And they don't come to the group to get answers to their problems. They come to the group so they feel they belong. And like Dylan said, so they feel like God listens. God uses this group to minister to me and also to get me to ask questions to him. So I think for group leaders, it's really important to know that people are coming so that they belong, to get a sense of belonging, so they can share their who they are, they can be who they are in the group, and not for solutions to all their problems, and not so we can share stories together and just rapid fire one after the other, which is why that communication piece, having time and slowing down the communication, is so important.
Yeah, if people were looking for answers, they'd just ask Google, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
If they're coming to group for belonging, to being heard. And I think one of the key things about identifying your own listening is realizing, why do I feel the need to respond? Like, every time you start to say something, like, why do I feel the need? Am I responding? Am I trying to fix you? Am I trying to make your problem go away just to make myself feel better? Like, I don't like what you shared. It's uncomfortable. I don't like that you're in pain. I don't want you to be in pain. So I want to fix you because it makes me feel better. Like, that's one of the hardest things you have to, like, it is uncomfortable to sit with somebody who shared difficulty, a problem of some kind, and not to say, well, here's how you should handle that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a much better way to approach that is to say, may I ask you a question? Or are you looking for advice or help in this? Do you want us to respond that way? Or do you want to be heard? If you ask that clarifying question, that's usually like the golden thing that somebody is saying, oh, you're focused on me. You want to know what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, you know, by the way, men have been given this reputation of being, you know, fixers, like that's like who they are and what they do all the time. And the more that I started paying attention to all this, I'm like, that is so far from the truth. We are all men and women prone to this fixing behavior. And we all need to grow in avoiding that moment when we're coming to the rescue, we're trying to fix. Like, that's the only temperature in the room, so to speak. And take a posture of sitting back and wondering what could be helpful together.
One thing you said about Dylan, about, you know, sometimes there is this discomfort I have with your problem, and so I'm trying to offer a solution. There's other times when I genuinely know what the solution is, like, but am I taking the time to let God speak into that first? Because sometimes there needs to be that space. There needs to be a little bit of that person wrestling rather than me just, oh, here's the answer. And I've noticed that just a lot, in particular when you are kind of in the realm of the mind, when people are really dwelling on some sort of truth about who God is or some truth in Scripture, and they're curious about something or they're really struggling with something. You know, we've talked about, you know, the idea that, you know, people are, is it Calvin or Arminius? Is it free will or predestination? Sometimes in those questions, there's like a deeper question about God's goodness or his character. But like, if I were to just speak into that immediately and solve the problem for them, there's a potential like space that God could have spoken into about who he was or how he wanted to address that, that I've just shut down because I gave the answer. And so whether that's a problem in life or in theology or just kind of whatever, sometimes us knowing the right answer is still to pause and wait, because God might want to do something with that uncertainty first.
Yeah. And it just feels so good to give the right answer, doesn't it?
It really does feel good. But, you know, sometimes we want to put off that good feeling to let God speak
in.
Because the even greater feeling is when they do come around to that in a journey that they've done with God or even in community, but it's something that they've arrived at that's been revealed to them. And it sticks. It stays with them. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. And that's so much more fun to be a part of than just getting to a place where you feel better about being in the conversation yourself.
Yeah. So we talked about a concept before that some people call three-way listening. What do we have to share about three-way listening?
Yeah, and this is something that a mentor of mine, Sybil Towner, was the first one to introduce me to it. And I'd like for y'all to picture like three circles that are overlapping with one another, like kind of a Venn diagram kind of image. And if you place yourself in one circle and God in another and the person sharing in the third circle, if they are overlapping, there's this place in the middle that's like the sweet spot of listening well. An example that came to mind for me was Dylan and I are in a group together, and she was sharing about something. And so I'm cognizant of God and her life and her story and his activity. I'm listening to what she's saying. And as I'm listening, this question starts to form, this thing that I start to wonder about. And you know, honestly, we're in a group where we don't always like ask, is it okay for me to ask this question? We just kind of gently offer it because we're at that kind of place of safety and trusting. But I offered the question to her, and she took it in, and she really didn't say a lot in the moment. And we ended up in a conversation later, like, you know, days later, maybe even a week later, where that came up again. And she was able to speak to me, you know, then about what had happened. But my point of that telling you that I didn't know is that when we share these things that we think are from God or possibly from God, we just offer them in that posture, and we may never, never know whether or not that was a question that was helpful or not. Dylan, would you like to speak to
that? I remember it well because, you know, the thing I was sharing was I wanted freedom. I wanted to be done with a thought. I was struggling with, you know, a way of thinking, and I had had a little bit of freedom from it, but I wanted a whole lot more freedom, and I just wanted to be done. I wanted to be rid of it. And you said, well, what would it be like, instead of being rid of it, for God to redeem it? And I was like, oh, Like the instant you said it, it was like I knew immediately that was the invitation of God, because what I was looking for was like the quick fix of I wanted to just be done and I wanted to be rid of it. But for God to redeem that thing meant a lot of, like, the image that I got in my mind immediately was a field that needed to be plowed and cultivated and turned into a beautiful garden. Like, I saw that there was work to be done. Like, I wanted the, you know, it to just go away, and God wanted a garden. But it was going to take a lot of work. And so, yeah, I mean, it was very powerful, that simple question that you asked me. It was like, I knew immediately that God was saying, no, this doesn't just go away, but I want to work alongside you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to work with me to cultivate this.
And I mean, I'm so grateful we're getting the opportunity to share this story, because when you first learn to be a group who listens well to one another, at first you can feel like, is anything happening? Is anything good coming of this kind of listening? And you can even feel it as the person who's sharing and feeling like you've walked away with no, like, concrete solution to the problem and no real sense of direction yet about what to do with what you've shared that you were really longing for. And so I just want to encourage people that are going through this transition that it is uncomfortable, but eventually you get to this place where the fruit of it is so abundant that you never, ever want to go back to not listening well to one another.
It just makes me think about, what if instead of Sherry taking the time to hear what God might be saying and offering a question to, you know, what if this is redeemed instead of gotten rid of? What if instead we had just been like, yeah, this is something I need to get rid of too, and totally invalidated what Dylan was sharing, or tried to fix it. Like, yeah, here's how you can get rid of that. Like, instead of letting God speak in and reveal how he wanted to redeem the thing. When I think about three-way listening, it makes me think about, you know, those almost kind of comedic situation in movies or TV shows where someone has an earpiece in and someone is like feeding lines to someone, where it's like you're having a conversation, but then there's like awkward pauses and stuff because they're trying to hear from the person in the other room what they should say. And so there can be some awkwardness to it, but there really is a making a space for God to speak into it and me offering what I feel like God might be saying to you. And really anytime we feel like God might be saying something, it should be offered, not just thrown out there. Like, hey, can I ask this question? I feel like God might be saying, that's just it.
I feel like a part of it is something Stu says often about training a group to slow down. Like, if you feel any sense of anxiety about silence in a group, like, this three-way listening really can't happen. You really do have to be a lot slower. You've got to be a lot more still. You've got to be okay with, oh, we're all trying to hear God at the same time we're trying to hear each other. And to do that, there's going to have to be, like Britt, you were saying, you know, the earpiece in the ear where we're trying to hear from God at the same time, right? Like, it's just going to be slower.
And one good example of that I was thinking is we did some sharing our stories this past semester in our group. And after we shared stories, then we purposely said, okay, we're going to take time, a couple minutes to pray and see what God, what do you think? How does that impact you? What do you think about them? And let that, just let it sit in silence, which is almost a training session of doing that, because we would not do that. People would, if Sherry hadn't allowed space after Dylan shared and thought about that, it would probably wasn't the first thing that came to mind if you would have just shared. And it is awkward when we think about, normally we get into these groups at a party or whatever, and there's banter, which was really very surfacey. We're not really, nobody's really bringing who they are. So there are ways that you can train that. But I think if you get the idea of slowing that down, that's a very practical way you can lead your group into listening better.
So what are some tips that we have for small group leaders as they're learning to listen well and bring that into their groups?
One thing I would say is just pay attention to the group size, because if the group size gets really large, it's really hard to listen well. So you can break up into smaller groups. And also just realize that there is different parts to your group meeting. When everybody gets there, there's a social time and everybody's catching up on their week and all that stuff. But there's a point at which you sit down to pray and to share. And actually, in your circle, it may be a place that you designate or whatever, where everyone knows now that's time to really listen. And you can listen to God and to others there too.
Yeah, I think those are so helpful because it is hard to listen when the group is large, right? You lose a sense of intimacy when you kind of get to past a certain point for certain, and you kind of do lose that sense of listening. Well, in talking about the timing of groups and stuff, like the structure of the meeting of when you're together, like. There have been a lot of times in Moms Together when, you know, we've told groups, hey, listen, we understand that during the 3 hours time that you're going to be here together, that it is not possible to have your, you know, A game listening skills sharp for that long. Like, that's just not even real. And so what we do is we have, like, during breakfast time, everybody is just free for all sharing, just, you know, chatting about your week, yada, 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 right? And then we very intentionally take a break. We ask the ladies to get up, walk around, go to the restroom if they need. And then when they enter back into the room, we literally have changed the lighting in the space. And the leader says to the group, okay, now we're going to engage in our really time that we're going to listen well to each other. And they light a candle at the table. And they're asked to, every time you notice the candle, remember, this is the time that we're listening right now. And so I just think it's really helpful and practical to let the group know in some way, hey, this is the time frame in which we really want to get to know each other by listening well and connect deeply with each other.
Yeah, I've been thinking about how much listening is, we're in a learning curve with it. Like, we're all testifying to being in a learning curve. And the practice that's helped me the most with that is praying before, praying in the midst, during, and praying after. And related to this topic, praying before, what helps me is to, like, just picture each person and the conversation, kind of where we landed in the last time we had the conversation, and just being curious and open to the Lord about their story, wanting to be available, wanting to serve, you know, wanting to come alongside, to be a companion in a listening way. During, we've already talked about, and the three-way listening, you know, in the moment. And then afterwards, there is an opportunity to notice things I maybe didn't notice in the moment about how I struggled to listen well, or how someone in the group struggled to listen well, and to seek the Lord's wisdom about how to help that move along in the next time that we're together. And also, you know, it gives you a chance to notice something that you didn't notice about the story that's unfolding in each of the people, and like, informs the way you pray, informs noticing what God's up to in their lives, and even being encouraged in that when the challenges you may have been more present to in the moment, but when you're praying afterwards, you can be more, possibly more present to how God really is faithful and is leading them through something.
And I think about just when I'm trying to listen well, and then I don't, as quick as possible, trying to, like, point that out, basically, like, just as a leader modeling, like, hey, I'm working on this. And so if Becky were to be talking to me, and then I interrupt her to talk about something else, be like, wait, I'm actually Becky, I'm sorry, I hijacked there, or whatever, naming it and apologizing, putting attention back on her. Or if Becky were to be sharing something and Max were to interrupt, even just be like, as the leader, like, hey, Max, just a second, Becky wasn't finished yet, and turn your attention back to her, just modeling for the group, like, hey, we don't want to do these things. We want to listen really well and make sure everyone feels heard. So just verbally, like, acknowledging when it's happening, because we don't have to be perfect. We just, you know, we want to keep working on it.
Yeah, and even speaking, you know, Sue said about loving well, like, when you address the person that's kind of like, oops, like really intentionally going back to them and being like so excited, like now I totally want to hear what you have to say too.
Mm-hmm. Now you're excited to listen to Max once we've listened to Becky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the benefits of listening well is that you notice that people like really they do get that sense of belonging. They do get the sense of connection and they show up a lot for group. You know, like they don't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. Like they'll move their schedule totally around. You know, when they feel deeply connected in a group, when attendance is high priority for them. Mm-hmm. And when you have experienced that, you know, the beauty of it. Like just for me personally, the way it's affected me is being in a group where we deeply listen to each other. It's made me, more honest. Like, I know when I'm going to group, I know that I'm going to be listened to. It's not a question. I know that's going to happen. And so when I'm there, I got to bring my real self. I got to bring my honest self. I got to say what's really going on. And outside of group, it's made me a more honest person with myself. Like, it's made me name, you know, like, reality. And it's been very freeing for me. It's helped me to be freer in my thinking. It has really transformed my heart and mind. Like, this is a legit and real thing. This really does work. And so I think we all need to just get a taste of it. And when once we do, we'll have a real, real high value. We can't live without it. Once you've tasted it, you just can't live without it.
It's so transformative. I mean, I agree with Delana. Learning to be honest in a group was something that I had a propensity towards doing that already. Like, I've had a certain value of vulnerability for as long as I can remember. But then there was this place where I would stop, and I didn't want to share anymore. And the longer that I've been on the journey, the more I'm willing to share. And that's because it's shame that was stopping me from being willing to share, that was causing me to hide, was keeping me very stuck. And now that I'm more willing to like just acknowledge I'm feeling shame, it's okay, I can be honest here, that's getting transformed into way more faith, way more hope, way more love. Like, literally changing my life, and like Delyn said, I never want to go back from that.
Yeah. Well, this is an area where we can all keep growing, and so I just want to thank any small group leaders that are listening. Ask that you try to think about these things, try to think about how we can improve, and even in places where you're surprised that you may not be doing this well, just keep working on it, because we all want to listen well.